The Final Journey of Irish War Poet Francis Ledwidge is the inspiration for a new play by Dermot Bolger to open at the Access Centre in Ballymun next week. Francis Ledwidge died during the Battle of Ypres in Belgium in 1917. Commissioned as part of the South County Dublin Council, Dublin County Council Public Arts Programme, Walking the Road follows Francis as he makes his final journey to his home in Slane, alongside the ghosts of all of those who touched his life. I'm joined now in the studio by Dermot Bolger. You're very welcome to the 11th Hour, Dermot.
Thank you, Patrick.
When South Dublin County Council, when they commissioned this work, why did you choose Ledwidge as a subject?
I've always been fascinated by Ledwidge, and the extraordinary thing is that for someone who died 90 years ago, he still occupies a unique place in the hearts of Irish people. The most remarkable people who wouldn't know a poem in their lives will know one poem of Francis Ledwidge. I think because he was a road worker, because he was a copper miner, because he was a union organiser, because he died before the age of 30, he still resonates with people, the tragedy of his life. I suppose that if you look at someone like Padraig Colum, who was a contemporary, who lived to be a revered old man and is now forgotten, whereas with Ledwidge we just saw the tip of the iceberg, and since then we've always been trying to fill in that missing bit in his life. So he's like an absence in Irish literature.
He's like the sort of the Michael Collins of literature. What would have happened if he'd lived?
There is that sense because he was just really, I mean, there's a great audacity in someone who's a road worker, who's born in a little labourer's cottage, whose brother dies of TB, who's known penury and starvation, in daring to be a poet and having the audacity to join the gentleman's club that was Georgian poetry. And actually, he needed to be brought in by Lord Dunsany, a local patron, who had no hesitation in referring to him constantly as a peasant poet. And in some ways, Ledwidge was only just finding his voice. He was only sort of... People liked rural poetry, but they liked the poet to be hidden behind woodbine and sort of thrushes and everything else. And Ledwidge was just starting to really find his voice when he was killed. So there was always a question of what would he have written about if he had survived that war, if he had come home.
Do we get a sense of Ledwidge as being a war poet? Did he write about his trials and tribulations in the trenches?
He actually had... I mean, like, Rupert Brooke is the great sort of war poet, and Rupert Brooke died of a mosquito bite on his lip before Gallipoli and never landed on the trenches, on the beaches. Ledwidge did land on the beaches. He was in Egypt, he was in Serbia, he fought his way through France. He died, but bizarrely, building a road a mile from the front in Ypres. And yet very little of that fighting permeates into his work. His work is very much about Meath. I mean, he's in Norman's land. He sees one board on a broken stump, and he sees Meath. He actually, the whole time, he's obsessed by home.
I was amazed as a young teenager when I read about Francis Ledwidge. I was amazed that there was such a thing as a poor Protestant. He was a different background to us and a different social status to us, it seemed. Mm-hmm. But he wrote about very ordinary, normal things.
Well, he was your archetypal ordinary agricultural worker. His father was a migrant agricultural worker. He died when Ledwidge was 4 years of age, and Ledwidge's brother Joe, who's a character in the play, which was only 3 months old, the mother was encouraged to put him in an orphanage, and she kept him at home by basically walking every hour in the fields and by darning socks and by taking in washing. And I think if Ledwidge had been put in an orphanage, I don't think poetry could have survived behind the walls of those institutions. But his mother nurtured him, and he left school at 13 himself, walked all his life, longed to live by poetry, and instead lived by his labouring hands.
Was it an economic decision of his to go join the army at the time of the war?
It wasn't an economic decision. His first poem, published in London, was a poem he wrote when he was 16 years of age in Rathfarnham. He was paid 6 shillings a line for that. When he joined the army, he was paid 7 shillings a week, 1 shilling more than for a line of poetry. The odd thing with Ledwidge, Irish people joined the army for thousands of reasons. Some joined from a sense of adventure, some joined from a sense of patriotism, some joined because they blindly followed their friends into the army. When war broke out, Ledwidge was resolutely against joining the army. He was somebody who'd been very strong in the Irish Volunteers. He actually resigned from the Meath Volunteers because they all followed Redmond's call. He spoke against conscription, he spoke against recruitment, and he was called a pro-German traitor. He was called a coward. I think he joined the army from a cocktail of reasons. One, a failed love affair with a local girl. Two, a sense that there was no work for him in Ireland. And three, also a sense that he wasn't going to bury his head in the local sands, and he was going to actually face up to what was happening in Europe.
face up to his responsibilities.
But he actually saw them.
He came home several times from the war.
He came home and became very, very disillusioned and told his brother that if the Germans came over the back hedge, he wouldn't. It's interesting that Dunsany, who, I mean, there was a whole conspiracy theory in Ireland that Lord Dunsany, as this evil English lord, had somehow twisted Letcher's arm to join the army. Dunsany had not wanted him to join the army, but when the fighting came, the British didn't send Dunsany into war. They refused to send Dunsany, even though he wanted to go. But Ledwich was like cheap meat for the slaughter and was sent again and again into battle. And even after his second campaign in Egypt, he came back. He was so crippled with arthritis that he they cannot send me again, and they sent him again. There was but he represents the 200,000 Irish who died in that war from every village in Ireland. And in some ways, in this play, as he's walking the road, because it's a very ghostly play, he meets all these people from these other places.
We have a little piece from the play here. Let's listen to that, and we'll talk in more detail about the play.
I ventured into the trees where a rat bolted from the undergrowth.
Lance Corporal Ledwidge!
Startled, he dropped something at my feet, then retreated a few paces. It was half a hand, a thumb and two gnawed fingers. Were the fingers German or French, English or Irish? Had they once stroked a girl's cheek like I stroked Ellie's cheek on the night when I failed to win her? The night when I longed to kiss her and say, "You mean more to me than life." I have no land, but I have prospects. My poems are being published in a London magazine. They call me a peasant, but they pay me 6 shillings a line. I failed to win Ellie because I was a coward, and this rat knows that I'm still a coward, too sickened to pick up the half-chewed hand.
Lance Corporal, come out from those trees or I'll do you for desertion.
The blackbird stopped singing. I flung a rock at the rat who dodged it. It looked like he was smirking like half of Slane once smirked about me. 6 shillings a line in London, yet no arse in my trousers in Ireland. What could I do? The rat would dig up the hand no matter how deep a hole I scraped with my knife. I heard the click of rifles, my unit moving on. I knelt to pray for whomever once owned these fingers, whatever age or nationality or religion, because we're all trapped here like insects under glass.
That was Colin O'Donoghue, who played Ledwidge, opposite Kelly Hickey as the companion, with sound and music by Mark O'Brien. The style of the play is...
It's a very unrealistic play. It is one poet reimagining the life of another poet. In the play, Ledwidge has been dead for 90 years. He's walking that road as a toad. Because his first job as a boy was walking in Rathfarnham, and he wrote his first poem, and he walked 42 miles home through the dark with his poem to his mother, abandoning a life in the grocery business, very wisely perhaps. And in some ways, he's making this walk home as a boy. He's making the walk home as a soldier. There's thousands of people in Ypres making this same walk, because the thing is, the extraordinary thing about Ypres, where the play is going after plays in Ballymun, is that every time they build a road, every time they build attention for a house, they find more bodies that are unearthed, and with nothing, just a few bones and maybe one or two buttons to identify them, and the war still goes on there in that way, that there's still all these lost souls.
Yeah, there's nothing more sad than desolate than the graveyards in Belgium and northern France from the First World War. They're really very lonely places. But are you, when you're creating this play, are you trying to sort of talk about it? You said the other 200,000 people that joined.
Yeah, in some ways, Ledwidge in the play becomes a sort of everyman. And what's extraordinary, we did a read through the play in Tala. People have come in to see the play in Ballymun. People were in America seeing it. We were in Milwaukee last week. And it touches a chord with all kinds of people, because it turns out that, I mean, almost every second Irish family had someone who died in that war. And in some ways, their stories were never talked about. So this play, although it's about Ledwidge, it's designed so that it really is about all those people who are written out of Irish history.
It's extraordinary, because even a relation of mine recently, we went to visit a site of a battle in the First World War to see where one of our ancestors had passed away in battling for the Americans, I think it was at the time. But is this do you comment on war in this play, or do you take on Ledwidge as sort of like cynicism of war in the end?
There is, to some extent, that, but it is about really somebody who is a play also about life and death, and is a play about somebody coming to terms with a notion that they are dead. And there's a great book by Hugo Hamilton called A Sailor in the Wardrobe, which is about his father, who is a very, very strong Gaelgor, who has a picture of his own father, Hugo's grandfather, who was in the British Navy during the war, and he can't throw it out, and he has it locked in the wardrobe. And in some ways this play is about opening all those wardrobes.
Letting all those ghosts out to breathe.
Hopefully so.
Trevor Bolger, thanks very much for being with us on the 11th hour.
Thank you, Father.
Walking the Roads is on at the Exit in Ballymun from the 5th to the 9th of June, and following a transfer to Ypres Town Hall in Belgium, it'll be returning to Ireland for a nationwide tour.